the truth. This is what the Bible says about the truth. That phrase, that question, actually comes from the Bible. What is truth? You remember that before Jesus was handed over to be scourged and executed, that he was interviewed by Pilate, and Pilate was unnerved for a couple of reasons. One, he received a letter from his wife that says, "I've had a dream about this man that you're trying now. Have nothing to do with that just man. Don't do anything to harm him," in other words. And then he heard the Jews say, "He's accused himself of being a king." And Pilate thought, "I'd better find out if he is indeed a king." So he kept interviewing Jesus, trying to get something out of him. But Christ knew his reasons were the wrong reasons. And they had this exchange that you'll find in John chapter 18, verses 37 and 38. John chapter 18, verses 37 and 38. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, "I find in him no fault at all." And then Pilate, he became so exasperated with all the different sects and variations of religion in the Roman Empire and all the battles in Jerusalem between Sadducees and Pharisees and scribes about what was the truth, that he just said, "What is the truth?" And he would not listen to the answer that could have come to him from the one person on the planet that understood the truth better than anyone else. He asked the question in a sarcastic way and then walked away from Jesus. How tragic to be in the presence of Jesus and say, "What is truth?" and hear not the answer. Christ is always ready to reveal the truth to anyone that is searching in sincerity, isn't he? What is truth? That same sarcastic question, springing from exasperation, is echoed all through the culture that we live in today. There are so many variations and deviations and perversions of what is the truth today that we have finally come to the place that in order to coexist, we need to come to the conclusion that there is no absolute truth. That everybody has their own version of truth, and we all need to respect each other's versions of the truth. Is that true? And maybe what you believe is truth for you. And maybe what I believe is truth for me. Maybe you believe something bad, but I believe that it's good. It's bad for you, it's good for me. And we all just need to love and to respect each other. That mindset has become very prevalent in the society that we live in today. Dangerous. I'd like to read a survey to you. Some of you may have heard of Barna. Barna is a Christian survey group. They did this survey that confirms that North Americans are in danger of becoming a continent of relatives. In other words, everything is relative. The survey asks, is there absolute truth? Now, before I give their answers, let me ask you that question. Is there absolute truth in the church? Is there absolute truth in the world? There is, isn't there? Yes, of course there is. But in this survey, amazingly, 66% of the adults responded they believe there is no such thing as absolute truth. 66%. They felt that different people can define truth in conflicting ways and still be correct. The figure rises to 72% between the ages of 18 and 25. And a more recent survey conducted, the figure has risen to 80% believe that there is no such thing as absolute truth in North America. That's staggering, isn't it? It's absolutely staggering. You know what's true for them? It's true for them. What's true for me is true for me. If I believe it, it's true. We define, we create our own truth. That kind of reasoning, folks, will send our souls straight to destruction. There are absolutes. Take a case in point. You've perhaps heard of the latest movie trend now, Harry Potter. Now, New York and Broadway, the center of the media circus. But when there's some big promotional release, that's where you'll find it, in New York and Broadway. At the premiere of the latest Harry Potter movie, you would see people lined up out of sight all around the block to watch this movie. And that movie, a few years down the road, will be worth about $2. And not even that. But the latest Harry Potter movie, in 2 days in England alone, just to give you perspective, 2 days in England alone made over $20 million in 2 days. Now you wonder what the mentality is. According to the world in which we live, this movie is a phenomenon. It has swept the country by storm. They're selling record books. As a matter of fact, the author, which is J.K. Rowling, is about to become a billionaire. A billionaire. She'll be the first billionaire writer. To put this into perspective, the richest woman in England is the Queen. The second richest woman in England is the author of the Harry Potter books. To me, that really puts things into perspective. This woman was a struggling single parent a few years ago when the first book was published. This thing has gone into orbit, like there's some spiritual force behind it. There is, isn't there? It's not the right spiritual force, but it is a spiritual force nevertheless. It's incredible the way it's just been taking hold of young minds. A brief background on Harry Potter, just so you'll understand how people are being misled. Harry Potter is a young boy, and he has been separated from his parents. He goes to this special university. It's a special place where people are trained to activate their powers. Some people are born with supernatural powers, of which Harry Potter is one. So he goes to this university to bring out and enhance these magical powers. And everybody at the school is a witch or a wizard, and they're using these cultish ceremonies and everything from flying brooms to three-headed dogs and a lot of spiritual occultism and spiritualism. Folks, it's very blatant. The author of the book will tell you that she gets letters from these kids all the time saying, "I am so thankful for your books. I want to be a witch when I grow up. I want to be a wizard when I grow up." They write her and they tell her, "I'd like to enroll in the university." They can't differentiate between real and false. Now, one of the things that's especially disturbing is that the majority of Christian leaders today think that there's nothing wrong with it, that it's fine. Strange counsel from Christian leaders. Typical of our times today, a recent report in Christianity Today seems to base its approval of the Harry Potter phenomenon not on the Bible, but on popular consensus among Christian leaders. Folks, that's disturbing. Should we read books that lead us away from the truth? Should we let our children read Harry Potter books? Christians ought not to read them. There are some well-meaning people out there, folks, that believe these books, these movies, have spiritual lessons that lead to good. Isn't that always the way the devil works? The bottom line is this. You want to ask this one question. Is it possible to use the devil's tools to teach God's principles? Is it? No. If you want the children to embrace Christ, if you want the children to embrace the truth, do you have to teach it on the context of sorcery and wizards and flying brooms and witches and spells and so on? Our subject is on truth. What is truth? What is the absolute truth? And the popularity of these Potter books is an indication of a culture that thinks everything is relative. And that's the point. I've asked you a question. Is there absolute truth? And you've indicated, yes. Truth is not relative. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof does what? Are the ways of death." A Jewish proverb states this. Pretty much sums it up. Better the ugly truth than a beautiful lie. In some of these books and some of these fairy tales, they make the lies beautiful, appealing. They make them interesting. They season them with elements of truth. And that's what makes it easy to sell. An illustration. We don't have any here in Newfoundland anymore, but we did at one time. Railroad tracks. We have a few, I guess, in parks and that. You get two railroad tracks, they're supposed to be exactly the same distance together, aren't they? Exactly the same all along the path, wherever they go, they have to be exactly the same distance together. If they get to where they're a quarter of an inch off in one span, after you go 20 miles, they'll be 100 yards apart. 100 yards apart. Train is not going down those tracks, folks. You cannot think, because I believe something, I'm sincere, I'm going to go to heaven. Truth is absolute. Unfortunately, young people today are being told by 100 voices, 1,000 voices. Unfortunately, some of them are in the church, that if you believe it, it's true. You know, if you ask some young people, is the Bible true? They'll say, yes, it's true. Why is it true? Because I believe it. Do we make the Bible true? Do we make the Bible true? No, we don't make the Bible true. Does our belief make anything true? No. The Bible is true for other reasons. It's true because it is an absolute truth in itself. Because it's God's perfect truth. And He's the one that determines the truth. Because He is the truth. There's evidence by which we can measure that as truth. Sincerity does not get you somewhere. I'll say that again. Sincerity does not get you somewhere. We can be very sincere, folks, but for the wrong reasons. Now, in some areas, sincerity counts, of course. God will sometimes wink at our ignorance. But for a person to think it's sufficient to say, as long as I believe it, that's all that matters. No, no, folks. That's not going to cover your sins. The Bible says, there is that which is highly esteemed among men, and it is an abomination to God. That's found in Luke 16:15 for your reference. There are a number of counterfeits for truth that are out there. We see them all the time. A number of counterfeits for truth that are out there. The devil is a master at counterfeiting, and even in something like the Harry Potter books and movies or some of these other things that might have a little bit of good in them, and good and evil battling, why would you say this is a Christian because there's a battle between good and evil? Sometimes folks will look at a battle between good and evil as a Christian theme. And indeed it is, the great controversy. But I cannot think of any popular series of any kind or a program out there where you can say there's a battle between good and evil, and so it's okay for Christians to go see it, simply because of the battle between good and evil. You'll find fringes of that in anything if you look hard enough, isn't that true? And that's what Christians are starting to do. They're thinking that everything is relative, and you need to consider the situation. There are many counterfeits for truth. Because most of the Christian leaders think that there may not be anything wrong with Harry Potter, it must be okay. Is that how we determine what truth is? You know what also is the case? The majority of Christians thinks it's okay for people to live together before marriage. Is that okay? In God's eyes? That must mean that God thinks it's okay if the majority thinks that's okay. That's the mentality, isn't it? No, there are certain absolutes. You and I cannot get together and vote to change the truth. The truth remains firm, doesn't it? Remains steadfast. The truth does not change. The whole purpose of the plan of salvation is to change us and to conform us into the truth, if we're willing. Popular trends tell us that if you don't believe in evolution, you are a stupid person. That's a strong word, stupid, but that's how they look at creationists. People who believe in creation, they think you've gone mentally deranged. And when they give evolutionary statements in the news, on TV, media, wherever, do they ever say theory anymore? It used to be the evolutionary theory. It's not said that way anymore, folks. It's a fact now. Evolution is a fact. We know the difference. They state it like this. This is an absolute truth. We have all evolved over millions of years. Are you glad that you came from monkeys? Do you feel proud being part of the monkey family? It's an insult. It's an absolute insult to God. Well, I've relayed this to some of my relatives that I believe in creation, and they would say things to me like, Steve, come on. You gotta be kidding. I mean, look at the scholars and look at the scientists. Look what they're all saying. I mean, they're saying that evolution is true. You think that, you know more than they do? And I say, yes, I do, because of God's word. Because my truth is different than theirs. My truth counts because it's an absolute truth found in the Word of God. We need to stand up and proclaim that we know the absolute truth. What will set us free? The absolute truth. The truth, yes. All sincere religions lead to God. Is that a true statement? No. There's another relative truth for you. Not an absolute truth, but a relative one. How many of you have heard that? I've heard it. That all rivers lead to the ocean, and as long as we're sincere to God, God is going to save everybody, no matter what their religion is, because if they're sincere and they love God, they're all going to go to heaven. Sounds nice, doesn't it? Sounds very pleasing. Sounds almost like you'd like to accept that. That sounds good, but it's not. It is true that there may be some people from many different religion persuasions who will be saved. That's the truth. But they are the exception. They are the exception because they did walk in the truth that God has given them. That's the reason. It's not because they happen to be a Hindu or they happen to be a Buddhist or a Hare Krishna and God's going to save them because they were sincere Buddhists or sincere Hare Krishnas or sincere Hindus. Who would question Osama bin Laden's sincerity? But he's sincere in his insanity, if you want to put it that way, isn't he? He believes what he believes. Who would question the sincerity of people that would kill themselves? But these folks who flew planes into buildings and blew themselves up were promised that they were going to have 70 women in a harem when they come to. They were very sincere. How many of you think they're going to get their harem when they wake up? They're going to wake up, but they're not going to come to a harem, are they? The sincerity, folks, doesn't make it happen. It's a lie. We don't create our own truth. Truth is absolute. And your believing something doesn't make it true. A lot of people believe a lie. The Bible says that in the last days, God will allow people to believe a lie because they receive not what? That's right. They do not receive the love of the truth, a respect of the truth. And so God is going to allow them to gag on their own self-delusion. And they'll get to the place where they'll very sincerely believe a lie. There's a lot of counterfeit truths out there, folks. False facts, if you will. A half-truth is especially dangerous thing if you get a hold of the wrong half. And there's a lot of people who have done that. What is truth? Principally, God's word is truth. Now, there's reasons I believe that, and I know there's reasons that you believe that. There are scientific arguments. There's evidence that supports that this is a dependable, accurate truth. You need to go somewhere where you can find a foundation, a pivotal place where you can know that it is true, and I believe the Bible is just that. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 28 says, "And now, O Lord God, Thou art that God, and Thy words be true, and Thou hast promised this goodness unto Thy servant." Wonderful words there. Another text, Psalm 119, verse 151. "Thou art near, O Lord, and all Thy commandments are" what? "True." These texts here, not connected to truth, not related to truth. That's not what it says. It says they are truth. It's an affirmation. John 17:17, listen to what Jesus says. Sanctify them through what? Thy truth. And thy word is truth. That's right. The word is truth. And so if you want to measure what's true, what is the best criterion? What's the standard we're to use? Are we to use Christian leaders? Are we to use popular trends? What says the Bible? What the Bible says about it. Use the word of God. You may sometimes find yourself in the minority. And that's true. God's word is truth. There are even people in the secular world that are discovering this, that the word of God is truth. I recently read a couple of quotes, one from U.S. News, and the other one was from Reader's Digest, where they're beginning to see that the good old Bible is dependable. There is mounting evidence that the Bible is true. Now, I wrote down these two because it used the word true specifically. And here's one of them. Is the Bible true? It's a question. New discoveries offer surprising, now note that word, surprising, support for key moments in Scripture. And then the Reader's Digest article is telling us that archaeologists are uncovering increasing evidence that the times and places in the Bible really exist. And you could search these articles further on the internet as well. But they're just a small sample of a growing mountain of evidence, even in modern times, where they're saying, even the scientists and skeptics are saying, you know, maybe, just maybe, the Bible is true. You've seen the articles that say that they're finding out that prayer really works. We know this. We know from the bottom of our hearts that prayer works. I read a new report last week that medical evidence supports that prayer really works. I think most of you have probably read that. In this report, it says that people who are prayed for healed more quickly than those who were not prayed for. If everyone knew that and they believed it, you think that everybody would start going to church and praying for everybody, wouldn't you? Well, these are the teachings of the Bible. Now, some say the Bible, that's for Christians. The Bible, that's for Christians. The Bible is the cultural book for a certain class of people that live in a certain geography, and it's true for them. But that's not true, is it? Is it? For a certain geography? No. If you live in the Middle East, the Quran is true. And if you live in China, it's Buddha. And there are different truths for different people. That's wrong. Again. The Bible is the truth everywhere. All over the place, all over the world, in the universe, the Bible is true. The Bible truth does not change with time, with location, with culture, with language. It is the same truth for all people. The principles in the Bible are perfectly dependable. Now, in connection with that, I'd like to read a statement. The devil does not want us to know that the Bible is the source of truth. That's true, isn't it? A great controversy. Statement here. Amazing statement. Satan well knew that the Holy Scriptures would enable men to discern his deceptions and withstand his power. It was by the word that even the Savior of the world has resisted his attacks. He's our example, isn't he, our Savior? At every assault, Christ presented the shield of eternal truth, saying, "It is written." That's right. To every suggestion of the adversary, he opposed in the wisdom and power of the word. In order for Satan to maintain his sway over men and to establish his authority, he must keep them in ignorance of the Scriptures and get them all enthralled with Harry Potter. Now, I added that last phrase, of course. Wouldn't it be nice to have a Bible reading revival? Is it possible? It's going to happen. It will happen. What is truth, Pilate asked. The word is truth. Jesus is truth. I would not just limit that to Jesus, of course. God the Son. But that would include God the Father. That would include God the Son. And that would include God the Holy Spirit. And here's what the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 14, a portion of our scripture reading this morning. And the Word was made what? Flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was filled with truth, brimming. He was running over with truth. John chapter 8, verse 40 says, But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you what? The truth, which I have heard of God. Jesus said, You know, I've only told you the truth. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, I am the truth. Jesus is the truth. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22, speaking of Christ, the apostle said, Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Guile means deceit. That's another definition for guile. Who did no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 says, It's impossible for God to lie. When God says something, what does that mean? It's the absolute truth. You can depend on it. God the Father, God the Son, and notice God the Spirit in 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. The Spirit is truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. God the Father is truth. The Spirit is truth. The Word is truth. Have you heard a lot of truth here this morning, folks? So when you and I want to discover what is the truth, He has given us what the criteria is. Just recently, we concluded a series of meetings entitled, What the Bible Says About. The first thing we established is the dependability of the Word of God, and that the Bible is indeed accurate. There's an abundance of evidence. There was a time, you know, folks, in my life when I didn't want to believe the Bible. I thought it was just another religion, as it were. I needed evidence. And you know what? I found that there was a lot of evidence. Concrete, dependable proof that the Bible could be trusted. Prophecy was some of the best evidence. Prophecy in the Word of God. The way that God could see the beginning from the end, God is truth. Truth liberates. Why is this study so important this morning? It's not really a sermon, it's a study, isn't it? Lies do not free, but the truth will liberate you. Of course, you know the very, very familiar text, John chapter 8 and verse 32, And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Our lying imprisons us. If we lie, it actually imprisons us. Dishonesty imprisons us. Not only is it true that the truth will set you free in regard to honesty, biblical points of truth liberate. And here's a word that you don't hear very often. Doctrinal truth sets you free. And that's the next subject we're going to deal with this morning. Doctrinal truth. It's almost a dirty word, isn't it? I'm going to church. What for? I want to hear good doctrine. When have you ever heard anyone say that? Not too often, have you? Have you ever heard anyone say it? That just seems so politically incorrect to say, I love that church, they have the greatest doctrines. You don't hear it too often. But you know, that is the right answer, though. You should join the church because of the truth. Because they believe the truth. So many people join because they think it's sort of a warm and fuzzy place. Very comforting. And that's good, too, to come into a warm atmosphere. But they like the church because of, well, maybe it's the great music. They have a great children's program. It's charismatic. They have a good-looking pastor. I like the building. You know, it's close to the house. Are these the right reasons to join the church? No. We need to find the church where the doctrines are the teachings and the admonitions of Jesus Christ, our Savior. If you were to ask me, why am I who I am? It's because of the teachings of God's Word, isn't it? It should be, shouldn't it? That's right. We need to be who we are because of the teachings, because of the doctrines of truth and life. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 says, My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. If people say, I love you, I love you, and their theology is all twisted, it may not be a pure love. Correct? Real theology, truthful theology, leads to truthful love. The Bible says when Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, it doesn't say the people were amazed at his preaching. Some people think that. It doesn't say that. The people were amazed at his preaching. It doesn't say that. What does it say? The teaching, which is the doctrine. That's right. They were amazed at his teaching. They were amazed at his doctrine. Doug Batchelor relays this small quote. Doug Batchelor, in case anyone doesn't know here, is a speaker for Amazing Facts. I had just begun a series of evangelistic meetings. After a couple of meetings, I had folks come up to me that had been visiting from other churches. Pastor, we didn't know you were going to come here preaching doctrine. Doctrine. Ugh, it's a dirty word. Doctrine. Almost sounds harsh, doesn't it? Doctrine, like yogurt. Who would eat it if you went by the name, right? But it's good. Some yogurt. But that's what Jesus did. It was his doctrine that blew them all away. It really was. His doctrine kept them spellbound all day long. The doctrines liberate. Many people grow up hating God or serving him in fear because they were raised to believe if you were good, you go to heaven and you sit on a cloud and you play a harp all day. And if you're bad, you go to hell and you roast in fire and brimstone for the ceaseless ages of eternity. Because of this view, some people believe that God is a sadist. They believe God enjoys suffering because they live this hard life and then they die and then they discover that they're lost and then you burn forever and ever. But when we understand the truth about that doctrine, folks, it liberates us. The truth will set us free. There are so many false teachings out there, but don't fight a fact. Deal with it. Facts do not cease to exist because they're ignored. A fact is a fact. The truth doesn't change. The truth abides still. There is also important because we are not purified by lies. The Bible teaches truth not only liberates, it purifies. How many want to be pure? You must be pure. The pure in heart will see who? Will see God. The truth purifies. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22 establishes this. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Don't miss this point, folks. It's not only enough to know the truth. What does Peter say? You got your Bible open? Let's open your Bible there then to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. And so I'm going to read that text again. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. So the point is that you don't want to miss. It's not only enough to know the truth. What's Peter saying there? Obey the truth through unto unfeigned love of the brethren. And John 17 verse 19 says, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Sanctified by the truth. Who wants to be sanctified? What does it? The truth. We've seen this dynamic work so many times when conducting evangelistic meetings, haven't we? Just the preaching of the truth has a purifying effect. It really does. Folks will come night after night and they begin to make decisions to change their lifestyle, to let go of things in their lives that had held them in bondage for years. Why? Because the truth is something that made a difference in their life. There's power in the truth and it has a purifying effect. It certainly does. The truth is something that is making a difference in their lives. And hopefully it's making a difference in our lives. We're purified by it. If Jesus is the truth, and if Jesus is pure, and if you follow Jesus, and you'll be following the truth, and you'll become pure. That's true, isn't it? Makes sense? I'm not sure who gave the following quote, but it does ring true. A man can't always be defending the truth. Now, hear me through on this one. There must be a time to feed on it. Can we defend the truth if we're not feeding on the truth? You can't, can you? So why did Lucifer fall? Because he did not abide in what? The truth. There's a time to be settled in the truth, folks. Because in regards to Satan, there is no truth in him. Now, doesn't the devil sometimes have a little bit of truth? Can the devil ever tell a truth? Yes, but Jesus said there's no truth in him, because whatever truth he has is corrupted by error. Are there any principles of truth in Harry Potter? Probably. Probably some. You know, someone said you can find a few vitamins in a garbage can, too. Well, who wants to get their vitamins in a garbage can? Anybody? Not really. John chapter 8, verses 45 and 47. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Listen to what Jesus is saying here. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Some people, folks, will never settle into the truth. Some people can never recognize the truth. You need to have your eyes open. Some people will never recognize the truth because they have rejected the truth repeatedly. And God has sent them delusion that they might believe a what? Believe a lie. Have you met people like that before? You give them the gospel, but they have truth-proof armor. And they say, hey, I know what I believe. I'm comfortable. You'll get to heaven with your beliefs, and I'll get to heaven with my beliefs. Somewhere along the way, they spent so much time rejecting the conviction of the Spirit, they've come to the place where they are guaranteed that they're going to be in the kingdom, but they believe a lie. Isn't that tragic? There are a lot of sincere people out there, but they're believing a lie. What do you think the most popular scripture is that's quoted among these type of people? The most popular scripture quoted among these type of people who have this frame of mind is Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. Judge not, that ye be not judged. Why this scripture? Because if you question what they believe, they say, don't judge me. You believe what you want. You get the speck out of your own eye, and I'll believe what I want. And that is one of the most gross misapplications of Scripture, folks, that is on the planet today. The truth does not morph to what we want. It's absolute. The purpose of the gospel is to get us to change and conform to the truth, if we're willing, like I said before. And the final thought. You know what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman? He said, you're from Samaria. He says, I'm a Jew. Salvation is of what? The Jews. What our politically correct society would have Jesus say is this. You folks sincerely worship on Mount Gerizim, which they did. We worship on Mount Jerusalem. We'll all get to heaven and love each other. He didn't say that, did he? He said, you're wrong. Salvation is of the Jews. And then he said, I'm the Messiah. And the whole Samaritan town ended up believing him because of her testimony. But he did not buy into her religion. Jesus did not buy into her religion, did he? He wouldn't be politically correct and say, well, what you believe is okay for you. He didn't. He said, salvation is of the Jews. You don't tell that to a Samaritan, do you? He told her, this is the truth, and you don't have it yet. That wouldn't fly today, would it? Then he went on to tell her, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Remember, folks, the Spirit is truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is looking for people who will worship not with a lot of emotional mumbo-jumbo. God wants us to worship him how? He's wanting a people to worship him in spirit and in truth. And as counsel to long-standing members in the church, and for new babes, new members, we all need to know what the truth is. We need to know how to give an answer to someone who is looking for the truth. You can't even introduce Jesus without a knowledge of the truth, can you? We need to open God's Word and search the Scriptures so that we can do what? Search the Scriptures so that we can reach out to others. What is truth? Pilate asked this question, and he goes down into history in oblivion, no doubt, lost. What is truth? Pilate didn't think it mattered. Sarcastic, indifferent, cynical about what is truth. Nobody knows what the truth is. There is no absolute truth. That's the mentality of the day that we live in. But there are some things that do not change. There are some things that will not change, and there are some things that cannot change. It doesn't change. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. If you'd like to know Him better, He has given us a manual that has the pure truth in it, and I commend this manual to you today.